I would like some noise, but not that kind of noise, that annoys you, like fingernails on a blackboard or a baby screaming or a donkey shouting down your face. I'd like some pleasant noise, because the other kind of noise, I want to cancel that. I want to get rid of that. And I want a podcast that helps me do that, but at the same time, tells me cool things about tech. And my word, have we got a lot to tell you about this week. But before we get to that, this lovely podcast from Future Publishing, which encompasses Tech Radar, Laptop Mag, Tom's Guide, and a host of other titles, let's find out who's on the podcast. Cherie, who are you?
I'm Sherelle Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
David, who are you?
I'm David Lum, Mobile Editor US at Tech Radar.
Matthew Swider, who are you?
I believe Matthew Swider, or Matt Swider, as Managing Editor at TechRadar.com.
And I am Gareth Beavis, Global Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar, and I am trying to inhale lunch before the podcast, and I haven't managed it. And I've stupidly opened a can of Pepsi, which is making me all kinds of burpy. So that's going to be fun audio for you guys listening, isn't it?
Yay! Bodily functions.
I've had a very tough morning, so I need a little treaty treat, and that's what a can of Pepsi is going to be. Right, we've got a lot to talk about, as I said, so we're going to get into it. But as always, before that, it's time for the big question. And this week, we had one that just sort of threw itself into our faces. LG did something a bit bonkers, let's be honest. It's the LG Wing, where, if you haven't seen this already, it's a phone that the front screen twists 90 degrees, and below it is a secret little screen. So it's not like a fold-out phone, but it is a phone with two screens. Imagine like a phone that becomes the letter T, you're pretty much there. Obviously, there's a very good write-up on that on techradar.com, so please do check that out. But the big question this week is, given the LG Wing is so bonkers, what would you awkwardly attach a second screen to? Cherie, are you LG winging it again this week?
Of course, I always wing it because I forgot all about this question.
I don't think you forget about the questions. I feel like you just, as soon as I tell you what they are in the production meeting, you're like, yeah, cool, and that's the end of the thought process. Until right this moment.
I mean, if gaming-wise, I would like a second screen on a controller, not like a MOGA. Like, I just like a little, I'd like to hit a button and a screen, like, kind of pops up and just retracts when I'm done with it, so I can take it on the road. Other things I would like a display on. Ooh, I actually want a working version of that, remember? I want to say 4 years back when Razer brought out that multi-monitor laptop.
With the middle one, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was, no, it wasn't Project Victoria. I forgot what they called it.
Christine?
Christine was the modular desktop. Actually, Victoria might have been this, but it was a Razer Blade laptop. It was like a 17, and like it had two additional monitors on the sides, and the working theory was, because it was a prototype, and of course they wouldn't let us touch it, was you hit a button and the monitors would roll back into the main monitor in some snazzy setup. It never came to fruition. It actually got stolen that CES. It ended up on some site in China.
Oh, yeah.
Like, but I thought it was a really dope idea, and if somebody could have made it, I'd really like that.
Project Valerie.
Valerie, I knew it. Ugh.
Why don't you come on over? Valerie, I'm sorry.
I appreciate that. That was
yeah,
nice.
I didn't commit to it hard enough. That's the problem there. Okay, I don't really know what your answer was, Cherie. What was your you kind of did a monologue about thoughts.
Well, no, the answer would either be a game controller or a laptop.
Okay, the game controller is a cool one. I think we saw some nice concept around Sony's possible DualSense and the build-up to it that involved a second screen that could do cool stuff with. Never happened. Basically, it would make it a small Wii U, wouldn't it? No one wants that. David, what about you?
Definitely my Apple Watch could use another second screen that pops out. Honestly, just screen real estate. God, it would be lovely to just have a little bit more room to move around with. But my real human answer is on an iPad. Why? So that I can actually multitask, because trying to do the whole, like, Safari and Google Docs at the same time is such a pain in the ass to set up every time. Just give me a second screen, and I'll just, that's where all my texts go, that I can swivel out.
Well, you've got a Mac, so it's technically the iPad can become a second screen in that sense, can't it?
It's true, but, like, I would love it on the go, and I also don't want to buy into the sidecar hype. I know that's big. iPadOS 14. Everyone's here for it, baby. But like, if I'm on the go, say, and I'm like, I don't know, maybe cooking in the kitchen, I don't want to haul out my laptop out to be able to do the multi-screen thing. I don't know. Call me old-fashioned.
Okay, Matt Sweater, what's going on from your wonderful brain?
I would put it in a, I don't want to say a pair of sunglasses, but I would put it in,
I feel like you're gonna.
Google Glass. I want this to come back, and I want to see things in my periphery when I look up. So that is something that existed that I think should exist again, with a more high resolution screen. Mostly because I don't think everybody has this problem, but I carry a lot of stuff in New York City, at least when I went outside, telling the time or seeing messages, even on a smartwatch, is difficult when you're carrying a lot of stuff. So when we were like, you know, emptying out the office, when the pandemic was happening, carrying a bunch of screens in my hand, I was like, oh, what time is it? I know the bus is going to be here in at this specific time. I'm like, I can't tell the time because I have too much stuff in my hands. And this is a problem of living in New York City. So if we could attach a screen to my face, I would really love that.
I feel like you're being unfair in New York City there. I mean, you just described someone who carries a lot of things. I don't think that's particularly specific to New York. I think people can carry things in Ohio, in California, in Norway.
But
people do that there.
But I drive. I used to drive in California. So I could stow that. There's nowhere to really stow two computer monitors walking down 42nd Street.
True. But I doubt that many of our listeners will ever have that inconvenience. But you're right. It does make it a lot more helpful to have that. I mean, would you call it a second screen, or would you call it just the screen on the Google Glass? Which, by the way, you know, for the listeners, you couldn't see, Matt did put it on. He did look as cool as you'd imagine. So however you feel about Google Glass, that was the situation. But would it be a second screen on top of what's already there, or
yes,
just enhancing the current one?
Well, my goal is to get to six screens. So I think that one day I will have this computer set up that I currently have in Google Glass form.
Well, one day that would be beautiful.
Yeah.
And we can all be part of Matt Swider's virtual world. I have gone a different direction for this, and I've hacked the question a little bit because I'm going to put on something that hasn't currently got a screen. So that doesn't really, I don't think it's really in the spirit of the question, but hey, I'm in charge of this one. I want to put it on a rabbit. And the reason being, I've got a rabbit now, and I never really know what that rabbit is thinking. And it's often very confusing, and it did a really strange wee the other day, and I wanted to know if it was all right, and couldn't tell. And the vet was like, it's fine, whatever, don't worry about it. So I'd like to put an awkward screen on the side of the rabbit if it didn't actually harm it anyway. And it could just give me just like an emoji to tell me how it's getting on. And if it's got a heart emoji, I'd be like, fine, you know what? I'll clean up your wee, off we go. No one's having a problem here. That would have made me a lot happier.
When you said rabbit, I didn't mean that
kind of rabbit.
Yeah, yeah.
But now you say that.
I was like, oh, I did not know that those type of answers were acceptable.
Hey, we have first of all talked sex toys on this podcast many a time, and secondly, Cherie, we all know that we support your crusade to see this thing being brought more mainstream. So, absolutely.
Oh, since we're on the topic of sex toys.
Yeah.
So Hitachi is thinking of new ways to bring 5G to products.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know where this is going to go.
Hitachi makes they make the magic wand. It's one of the best toys out there. And they don't claim it. They just they don't put any branding on it. They don't it's just this massive wand. And I'm like, are y'all thinking about putting 5G into that? Do we need a 5G connected sex toy?
What would that do?
Actually, that would be a pretty good move for teledildonics.
I was thinking that, which is one of my favorite words of all time.
That's
Shree's just in a reverie right now, just thinking.
Yeah, no, that's actually a good idea. But moving on.
Yeah. I've got literally no idea who to award the points to this week, so we're going to call it a big old lovely draw, so we can get on to the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 big things that we talk about this week. Number one, let's go. Swider, it was the PS5 event last night. It was massive. I think people generally, apart from struggling to find this thing, quite happy about the new PS5 console, right?
I am currently trying to look for this thing. And
is it on Amazon?
It is sold out everywhere I've looked so far. So not happy about that, but I'm okay with maybe getting it a day or two late if need be. But the price is right in some cases. So it comes out on November 12th in the US, November 19th in the UK. The 12th is also coming to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Mexico, South Korea. But yeah, the rest of the world gets it on the 19th, a week later. Both are Thursdays, in case you're planning out your week and where you'll be. And that's 2 days. The 10th is Xbox Series X launch date. So a lot happening within a short span of time. And then it costs, the costs start, well, the cost is $500 for the disc version. That's the version that I'm looking to get.
The Big Daddy version.
Yeah. That is £449 in the UK. And it is $400 for the digital version, the PS5 digital edition, or £359. So two different prices there. But I'm going to throw it out there that you will save money by buying the more expensive version. I may have an op-ed on techradar.com.
I agree with you on this. I think I know what you're going to say. Is it because the discs are cheaper than the digital versions?
Absolutely. I made this decision when the Nintendo Switch came out, and Nintendo Switch is not a digital versus physical disc system in terms of you're locked in. But I started to buy the physical cartridges for Nintendo Switch, and they're like half price for the physical cartridges after only a little while, except for Nintendo games. They don't go down in price very often, but they're still, you're saving $10 on even Nintendo games. Super Smash Brothers and Donkey Kong Country, games that I've bought, are still $60 full price. So same thing is going to happen with the PS5 games. You're going to save in about 3 months, if you're buying games normally, you're going to save more than $100. There are PlayStation Store sales, but not quite as often. And the games just aren't the games that I would probably want.
Can anybody on this podcast explain to me, because I can't understand it, why something that actually has a physical cost to be created costs less than something that doesn't have physical cost to be created and could just be downloaded from anywhere and it's surely should be cheaper? It seems crazy.
Yeah, and used games go out the window.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. I've got a lot of perplexed looks on here as well, because I haven't been able to find out the reasoning for it. Because why would you discount it and keep it the same price digitally? Is it because people value that convenience so much that they're not willing to either go down to the local store or, you know, just press a button on their local retailer's online presence and get it delivered in 2 days' time? Is it that immediacy that means they can jack up the prices 25% or not jack them down 25%? I had this conversation with my friend the other day, and they asked the same question. I didn't have an answer.
Yeah, there's no competition. Alternatively, though, I am probably going to buy the Xbox Series S, just to add a plot twist in here, because the Xbox Game Pass has 150 games to it. It's $15 a month. And they get first access to Halo Infinite and other games when they come out, other Microsoft Game Studio games. So that seems like a good deal, and you're getting most of the, you don't get the full specs of the Xbox Series X, but you get to play those games, and that's fine. So very polar opposites in what I'm buying on the PS5 Xbox front.
And David, what do you think about the price of the PS5? Because for me, I mean, Sony literally prepped us to say, look, it's going to be more expensive than the Xbox. It was pretty much said in the build-up that get ready for that because this is going to be a better console. And then it seems like they've I don't know, have they blinked at the last minute and dropped the price? Because if they have, it's brilliant. Or is it just a case of that was a misdirection the whole time, do you think?
I mean, it's certainly possible. I think that everybody's just going to lose money on consoles. These things are so complicated now. But I think that the pricing that the Xbox came in, they needed to have a win. And that win was putting the digital edition just $100 more expensive than the Xbox Series S. I don't think there's any way that they really wanted these prices to be that low, and low with huge air quotes here, because it's still a $500 console that they're putting ahead. But maybe they just got horrible flashbacks to the Xbox 360 and PS3 face-off, in which the Xbox thoroughly trounced them for years because of that.
But that's not why they trounced them. Like, Xbox, that particular generation of Xbox, they stepped up the game and they got a lot of exclusive titles. Yes, the price was a factor, a big factor, but at the end of the day, like, those prices dropped within a year.
Okay, those are the facts, but how do we remember them? And are those the true facts?
I remember Xbox had a ton of exclusives and PlayStation had dropped the ball. That's how I remember it. But yeah. But I do think Sony is disrespectful. I knew, like, they knew, like, because I was talking to a friend about this and they were like, well, how much do you think it's going to be? I honestly thought they were going to keep them. I thought it was going to be a $600 console. I do think they blinked. Yeah. I do think they said, okay, we'll sell it at a slight loss, but that we're not going any lower than this. Even after seeing Xbox's prices, because at the end of the day, they made their case for why it's more expensive with that showcase. Like, mm-hmm. like Sony knew good and damn well once they rolled out that console exclusive for Final Fantasy 16. showed off some actual gameplay and Spider-Man Miles Morales. And then they showed the price because they kept winding you up like, all right, it's coming. Here's the price. And if you thought about complaining about it, oh, by the way, God of War is coming next year. You're really not going to give us money? No, you're giving us money. We could ask you for your newborn kid and you're going to hand it over. Like, no, nobody was going to not buy it.
So, I mean, for me, from a more of a spectator point of view, who may or may not buy the consoles, I'm not thoroughly engaged in this whole thing. It seems to me like Sony is managed to make the console that was thought to be more expensive cheaper than expected. You can buy it earlier than you can buy the Xbox in theory, because the pre-orders are open already and they're selling out everywhere. And the games, the exclusive games, look pretty exciting. Apart from the Game Pass, it seems to me like Sony's done pretty well here, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. Everyone agrees.
Except for pre-orders.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, the fact is everyone can't get the pre-orders right now. What is the one way to make it sound like it's a super cool thing? No one can buy it. It's the ultimate marketing. You know, everyone's like, have you got one?
All of my team has one.
I will say, you can go to techradar.com and sort your pre-orders, because that's what I'm going to do after this podcast.
And we do have a very good widget that is constantly checking for stock all around the internet right now in your region. So please do check out PS5 pre-orders, TechRadar on Google. That will get you right there. Next up, it was the Apple event, Time Flies event on Tuesday. And we didn't have the iPhone, unsurprisingly. But we did get a lot of cool stuff, I think.
Enough cool stuff. I mean, I don't think I was blown away by the cool stuff, since there wasn't a cool new thing outside of a particular budget watch. We didn't get AirTags. We didn't get the Apple headphones. But hey, that's probably coming, right?
Here's what, like, so that AirPod, the iPad Air, like, again, I don't believe in tablets, so it, like, it's neither here nor there for me. But I'm like, how sad is it that all they have to do is say, colors, look at the colors, and everyone is like, ooh, the colors. Like, how starved are we for variety in our tech? Also, that thing doesn't, they didn't cut down on the bezels. Apple has to figure out what they're doing with the bezels. Like, they cannot, generation after generation, keep coming out with these chunky, chunky boys when everybody else is shaving their bezels. But I guess I want to see how the camera works. And I guess I want to play with it. I don't know. I don't believe in tablets.
Yeah, it's one of these things though with Apple, is people talk about, you know, you said about the color side of things, but it's a juggernaut that all Apple needs to do is keep that momentum going forwards, right? It just needs to make sure that it doesn't do anything that makes it go into sort of into reverse, so that the products that come out aren't materially worse than the year before. So like the Apple Watch 5 and the Apple Watch 6, there's not a lot going on there. The new blood oxygen meter is like fine. You know, it's not a medical grade device. It's just there for your own personal use, which means, you know, you trust it less necessarily because it's specifically not medical grade. So you go, okay, fine. It's interesting to see how much oxygen I've got in my blood. And if it's low regularly, I may go and check it out, but it's not that kind of, you know, like the ECG was a proper FDA approved device. And I think David picked it up there. It's this middle ground that really is the most exciting. And I say exciting in inverted commas because there's nothing materially massive. But the Apple Watch SE is a much cheaper, good, middle-of-the-range device. So those people looking for maybe not the always-on display, but a device, you know, an Apple Watch that has all the greatest new things, you know, Apple Watch OS 7, you know, hand sleep tracking, hand wash tracking, all the different elements, plus the new Fitness Plus feature that you can use with it as well. It's a great way into that. Same with the iPad Air. It's not the Pro. It's got a lot of Pro features. It's got the Magic Keyboard, which is a massive part of things, to be honest with you, because the Magic Keyboard is a real upgrade for the iPad. So, well, yeah, as it was called, the Time Flies event didn't have much going for it in terms of there was no foldable iPhone, there was no Apple Glasses, there was nothing sort of game-changing. It ticked a lot of boxes. And again, these incremental updates are all Apple really needs at the moment until, you know, the market really does something astronomically amazing that it has to jump on. And the stunned silence means I'm right. Yeah.
So do you think we're going to get yet another Apple event in October?
Oh, of course, yeah.
They have to come out with the iPhone.
I can't wait. One every month. One every month in the future.
I mean, traffic-wise, it's great, so I'm not complaining.
I don't want this.
But there was always a September and, well, not always, but there's often a September and October event with Apple. It's just we've gone backwards because it used to be iPhone and maybe Apple Watch, and then there was iPads or MacBooks, you know.
You know what it is? Like when I was just a staff writer and worked my way up the ranks at Laptop, I never had to worry about Apple Day, like outside of like my little beats of coverage, which is audio and VR. But now that I'm head honcho, like I'm dreading, because I would watch Mark Spoonhauer, who's now global editor in chief over at Tom's Guy, like Apple just summons you and you have to appear. And I would watch him take those red eyes to Corporatino. And I'm like, I never want to do that. And now, like, when the world opens again, I might have to be doing that. And I'm just not looking forward to that. I'm not trying to be on that type of time.
Yeah, it's a lot of. I mean, so the last 2 days have been a lot of fun. Let's call it that with PlayStation 5. Well, first of all, we had the Apple event, which also debuted iOS 14, which is quite a big upgrade, and had a lot about that on Tech Radar. Then straight into PS5, and then today, trying out these new devices, playing with the new Apple Watches and iPad, the new iPad, well, the new iPad. It's a lot. It is a lot. But I think, you know, the Apple event was interesting. If it was a bit underwhelming, but you know, we've still got the iPhone to go. Let's see what happens there. Anyway, the next thing on the list, it is the GoPro Hero 9 Black. People might not have noticed about this as much, given the fact there's been thousands of things going on, but this is a big one, right, Swider?
Yes, I like it. There were some firmware issues when it first came out that they have addressed, but
put that on the side of the bus.
Yeah.
I like it. There were some firmware issues. Matt Swider, Tech Radar.
But that's, you know, something that we dove into in our review, and I kind of want to caution people. It's a very good device, but it had some hurdles to get over when we were testing it out. Particularly the touchscreen didn't work, but it has so much packed into it that it's definitely just not by default, but it's definitely the best GoPro that they've made. But the big key upgrade is it has a front screen to it. So on the older GoPros, you would have a little monochrome screen that would tell you your recording settings. And then DJI, a competitor to GoPro, came out with the DJI Action, the Osmo Action, and that had a front screen to it so you could frame your shot. It's not the, you know, best front screen in the world, but it helps you just kind of not squint at your GoPro and try to see if you're kind of in the frame magically. You can actually see yourself, and that's a great thing for framing shots. So I'm kind of in love with that feature. It also has something I really like, scheduled recordings, which is great for time lapses. I'm really into time lapses. So there's something here for everybody. It's 5K video, which no one needs 5K video right now, but you can punch into video and it's still 4K. So if you want to crop something, that's a possibility. So definitely one of the better GoPro year-to-year upgrades. But yeah, it not all the reviews out there, but including ours, have, you know, we didn't test out that firmware or it came at the last second. So we're going to be updating our review because of that reason.
And do you think it's surprising that we still get, you know, these action cameras getting such a big reception in, you know, in 2020? You think that, like most things, it would be subsumed by another device in some way. But it seems like the action camera stays being just the action camera and not much else.
Yeah, I think that they're facing a lot of competition from phones and people saying, why do I need this? So they're trying as hard as they can to say, this is something that your phone can't do. They have two things on there, this hyper stabilization, this hyper smooth stabilization now in 3.0. It's more than just sounding good by being, ooh, 3.0. It is buttery smooth. You can't get something like that from a phone. And time warp, which I think is now also in 3.0. That is the ability to not do a time lapse, but do a hyperlapse where you're walking with a GoPro and it takes basically what amounts to a time lapse. And it's really cool. You can also slow down with the click of a button on the touchscreen, which now works. You can slow down the action in a hyperlapse and go to real time, which is just like, that makes too much sense. And there was a time where GoPro had that with, you know, they had this time-lapse feature, this hyper time warp. And you couldn't do that. And you're like, oh, now I have to stop my recording and then record something in real time and then boot up the, you know, this hyperlapse mode again. So they've fixed a lot of the stuff that we wanted with the older GoPros. It is a little more expensive. It is a little bigger, but that's because the battery's bigger, which is an excellent trade-off in my opinion.
And it's black.
And it is black. Sometimes they come out with silver and white versions, but we haven't seen those yet. Those are usually cheaper versions of the flagship GoPro Hero black version.
Very quickly, before we get on to Oculus, which I know Sharia is very excited about, I'm wearing both the Apple Watch SE and the Apple Watch 6, and I've put... Oh, no, Series activated shit. And I've put my Memoji on both of them. It's fucking weird. I'm showing this on the camera to the team.
Oh, hello, little Gareth.
Little Gareth, but this one's always on, so he's just there, like, silently watching me, and this one just pops up every time I tap and does a little winky face at me. So the always-on display Memoji is a weird way to interact with yourself, I'll be honest.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
And it's two little versions of me.
Oh.
Sheree's taking a celebratory gallon of water from her receptacle. Right, I'm actually quite excited about this one, Sheree. Oculus Quest 2. That's right, isn't it? It's Quest 2.
Yes, it is Quest 2.
And our review from the lovely Gerald Lynch, he was quite excited about it, apart from the fact it made him feel sick, you know, classic problems. Is it a good headset? Is this going to help us rekindle love in VR? Has it ever gone away?
I think so. Namely because...
Sheree is holding one right now. That's what the sound is you can hear. That is the sound of it being manhandled in real time.
I'm really excited about this. I'm like, everyone is like, why are you so up? I love VR. I think it's what...
I love VR.
I think it's one of those cool Jetson-esque technologies that that we actually have. Because while there are a few flying cars, we're not living in a Jetsons age. But the Oculus and VR just period makes me feel like, oh, I am living in the future. It's just that it's been hard for everyone to get like me because I'm a tech reviewer and they send me the stuff. Oculus just took down one of the biggest barriers, I think, into making VR a really mainstream product, and that's price. So it's starting at $299, which is amazing. because Oculus was sitting at the $399 sweet spot for them that for a while. And while, yeah, that's a hell of a lot more affordable than anything that Vive has going for it. I think the cheapest they've got going now is $499. $399 is still a lot to ask. The Quest 2 is standalone, so there are no wires unless you want a wire to bump up the graphics the graphics performance, and then that's the link. It's lighter. Everything is self-contained, so the one I actually reviewed is 64 gigs. That's the $299 one. If you want 256, then it goes up to $399. That's Oculus's safe space. $399 is their safe, like, that's the safe word. Like,
you can buy a PlayStation for that. Come on.
Yeah, you can buy a PlayStation for that. But because I'm thinking about this in terms of the PSVR 2, which is inevitable. So with, like, the original PSVR was $299, which is the same price as this. But, like, you don't get to walk around. So you don't even get to walk around with the PSVR. I forgot all about that. You still need the PSI. You still need the games, and you still need the console. So there's so many added costs into the PSVR. This, you pay $299, you buy your games, which the games for Oculus, they top out at $39.99. And you've got a lot of great free content on this, and everything is standalone. The graphical fidelity is a hell of a lot better than the last Quest. That screen door problem, which you see all the bit, like that mesh screen effect, that's gone. The battery life could be better. It's still at 2 to 3 hours, which I don't know if you need more than 2 or 3 hours in VR. I'm not sure. I've done more than 2 or 3 hours with no ill effect, but I don't know if that should be an everyday thing. But they are actually selling a battery pack to this thing if you want to just stay in there for inordinate amounts of time. But I'm really enjoying the Oculus Quest 2. It's revitalized my interests. Like, I've been playing Beat Saber like a mad woman, and I've been using it. I'm definitely going to be checking out the fitness components of it, because now they're doing Oculus Move, because everything needs to have a fitness quotient in it now. But overall, I think this is the VR headset that people need to check out and invest in.
I want to check this out. I mean, Swider, you like VR, don't you? Or do you hate VR? I can't remember which one it is.
It's good. But what I'm waiting for is Ready Player One force feedback. So I'm waiting for the suit to come in so I can don that and kind of feel what's going on.
Also, like, because Facebook now owns Oculus, they are going real hard on the social aspect. I haven't gotten into the Horizons beta yet, which I'm excited to do, but I did try out Venue. I am really impressed with the face tracking capabilities. Like, I was having a conversation with two strangers. Like, it didn't look like their mouths were moving in time with what they were saying. Like, it looked like it was making all the all the mouth pronouncements and movements you need to. The facial stuff was really good. Like, if they grimaced, like, you could see them frowning. And it was just a really fun time. And, like, thanks to the integrated speakers, like, it really just sat, like, I felt like I was in a lobby about to go into a show, and I just happened to meet two dudes, and we just happened to love, like, hey, this comedian, like, let's talk about it before we go into the show. And it just felt really, really natural, and I was really, really impressed. And because Zuckerberg has said he wants a Oculus in every house, I think they are on the way to making that happen.
It's interesting that the pandemic probably made them sell out in terms of the Oculus Quest 1. It was very hard to get that for a little while. And then now the Oculus Quest 2 is even more necessary because people are working from home and that interaction is kind of lost.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's... I haven't done it with work yet, like work collaboration stuff. I basically use it to watch movies, play games, do a little bit of fitness stuff. But I should download Spatial and a couple of those other productivity apps and see what it's about.
Right, we have got 2 minutes left of this section. So Cherie, you're going to talk us through NVIDIA as well. What can you tell us in 2 minutes? The idea being this is before the news blast is quite ironic.
It's a new card. It's powerful as hell. It's supposed to be up to 50% more powerful than the 2080 and 20% more powerful than the 2080 Ti. It's also less expensive than those two chips because the Founders Edition, I mean cards, the Founders Edition is starting at $699, whereas the 2080 started at $799 when it debuted, and the Ti started at $1,199. So the big thing about this is that it's got double the CUDA cores, which means that everything's gonna look prettier. Everything's gonna be more efficient and more powerful, and it's starting at a sort of affordable price. But if you did not get your pre-orders in early, you're gonna have a tough time finding it because scalpers, those nefarious people, have bought up a lot of the stock and they are reselling at obscene prices.
So this is for the, just to be clear, the NVIDIA GeForce RTX 3080, because Cherie, for all her wonderfulness, didn't mention that at the start. So just in case you're wondering which graphics card it is.
I got excited!
Which is good. Obviously, we want to be excited about the tech. But yeah, our review found, you know, Bill Thomas did an excellent review on this, and they found that it was... they called it an absolute powerhouse of a graphics card. You know, bringing 4K gaming to the mainstream was how it was dubbed, which is wonderful to hear because that's the kind of thing that we want to see in the PCs, right? Mixing it with the PlayStations, mixing with the Xboxes, and giving people real options to play with. Cherie's nodding. Excellent.
I'm so excited to get this into a desktop that could actually fit it. Unfortunately, my Alienware Aura cannot fit it. So I will have to wait. Like that is the rub. So make sure if you have a case that you're thinking about swapping this into, that it can fit. It's a long card. And some of your typical OEMs, Alienware, Northwest, Main Gear, they might not use Founder Edition cards. They might use third-party cards from MSI or what have you. So make sure, if you're going to get the Founders Edition, that it can actually fit in your case, or you're going to be spending $700 on a card that can't fit, and you'll have to probably pay the restocking fee to return it. So please, please, please do your research.
Yeah, don't do that. Please don't do that. Right, let's go for a quick break. And after this, we're going to hear from David Lum, who's entering the News Blast Arena. More after this. And we're back again. This is part two of Noise Cancelling, where we have talked about all kinds of tech. Now, David, how are you feeling? Are you sweating? Are you feeling ready?
Nervous, but ready to give 110% to this news blast.
It's what I want to hear. Right, so here, in case you are listening and haven't figured out what the news blast is, what you've been doing, you should be subscribing, please do. So with Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your pods. The news blast is 1 minute where a different person, ideally each week, tries to tell us, in as much detail as is needed to give us the flavour of the story, as many news stories as possible from the past week. So if we cover the big things, these are the kind of the appetizers, the snackettes, the side dishes that you want to be learning about in the tech world. Cherie, can you get a timer up? Because I'm using all my displays at once. No, wait, I've got the Apple Watch. Let's use that.
All right. You fancy, huh?
Yeah. Which one shall I use, I wonder?
If you just yell, "Hey Siri," will they both start at once?
Ooh.
Good question. Hey Siri, start a timer for 1 minute.
Okay, 1 minute and counting.
Oh, you've got male Siri.
Yeah, I do, yeah. I don't know. Anyway, it's already started, so let's ruin that. Okay, David, are you ready?
I am ready.
On your marks, get set, let's go.
Okay, Netflix releases a trailer for one of the biggest movies of the year. This is The Trial of the Chicago 7, the Aaron Sorkin written and directed recounting of protesters of the 1968 Democratic National Convention, hit on trial. A lot of stars you probably know. Sacha Baron Cohen, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Eddie Redmayne, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. Lots of people. Looks great. Moving on. The Bose launches a cheap soundbar. It's about $250. That's great. It's also small, so it fits under your TV. 594 millimeters. Americans don't believe in metric. That's about 2 feet wide and 2 inches tall. All right. Moto G9 Plus is a cheap answer phone to the Samsung Galaxy Note 20. It looks like a Note 20. It's going to be cheap. It's only in Brazil right now. Sorry, everyone else. Casio launches retro cool G-Shock watch inspired by volcanic lightning. Oh my god, it's not bulbous like any other smartwatch. It looks big. It looks a little masculine. Sorry for the gendered, but it's an old watch in a new form. LG's 163-inch micro-LED TV
could
be...
Time. You got four.
Bummer.
Whew. Yeah, I feel like I want to have you back on again for another go in the future because you spent 30 seconds talking about the Netflix movie and then really got into your stride.
I did. I know. I think I just, it's my first time blasting. I really stumbled out the gate there. Spent way too much time in entertainment. You can tell that that there was a lot of stuff in that first one. And man, all the other stuff is actually an easier sell than being like, why should you care about a film?
But I feel like, you know, you've really showed your chops here. You know, there's a lot of potential for future news blasting. So I'm excited to have you back for that.
Thank you. I didn't want to let down the Tech Radar name.
No, but you did get the lowest score, joint lowest score of all time. So, you know, mix it in there. You know, so you share that with Cherie.
It's such a David thing, though, to give you so much depth.
Yes.
In an article. He does it during podcasts as well. So that's nice.
Good. I've got a brand. I can shave off time. Just let me go again, coach.
We will have you on again soon. So I do want to find out what kind of untapped potential we can get here. We'll be running drills in the week, you know, just get you on VC. We'll be like, go, here's 10 things. Talk about them now. Right. We've got time for the most popular, unpopular thing, Cherie. What is it?
Unpopular opinions. Let your hair unfurl. Tablets, consoles, everything else. What are we going to hate on today? Unpopular opinions.
And what are you going to hate on today, Cherie?
I am going to hate on Xbox/Sony. I'm going to buy them both. I'm going to get the Series X from Xbox, and I'm going to get. I have the physical version of the PlayStation 5 on pre-order. Woohoo! I've done it. One down, one to go. The reason I'm going to be a hater is because Xbox has to redeem. Like, they are out the box with that price. It's amazing. But again, I've danced this dance with Xbox before. That, like, with them being the most powerful system and all of this and the pricing and everything is right. But games, like, they have to nail the thing with the games. Like, yes, Game Pass, and yes, you can play all these. But it's kind of like, if you don't have exclusives, they're going to be sunk. And they have to be exclusives that people want to play. So, for instance, they don't have a God of War out the box. They don't have Final Fantasy 16. They don't have Horizon Forbidden West. They don't have Spider-Man Miles Morales. The list goes on and on. So the exclusives that we're looking forward to for Xbox, Gears of War, which we haven't seen anything for and haven't heard hide nor hair yet. Halo, which has been pushed back, and Forza. That's not a deep well. And I'm hopeful for Xbox because they've bought all of these development houses, but they have to work with third-party vendors and get something on at least a time exclusive for this to be worth everyone's while, because that's why Sony can be disrespectful with their pricing. It's like, well, yeah, no, we've got all these games, and you're not going to sit there and say, oh no, I don't want to play God of War 2. No, not at all. Keep that to yourself, Sony, with your expensive. No, you're going to find a way to make that money in this pandemic, whether you have to do strain for change. Whether you, like, I mean, hashtag OnlyFans, get y'all money, y'all. I am not a hater. You're going to do what you got to do to get that money up. Like, there's going to be people are going to be really creative to make sure that they have that pandemic capital to make sure that they have that PS5. I'm not sure that people are going to do it just off the strength of the games for the Xbox. So Xbox really has to nail that down. And that's why, even though I am definitely going to get an Xbox Series X, I am a little concerned about the game lineup.
Do you agree, David? Do you agree, Matthew Swider? Or do you think, wrong?
I do.
Now I do. I mean, I didn't see it laid out.
They need an Uncharted. Like, they need Uncharted. They need God of War. Those style of games, I just don't see. I mean, they don't have either the mascot games that Nintendo has. I think the last one that Microsoft tried was Blinks, that magic cat. It just didn't resonate with anybody, and that's their biggest problem. But I'm still, like Cherie, going to complain about them, but also pay them $1,000.
Yeah, they're going to get my money. And speaking of mascot games, I didn't even think about Ratchet and Clank, and that's one of my favorites. They really, really have to nail this down. They've got to figure it out. I wouldn't even be mad if they brought back Cameo and did a remaster of that and, like, really just rebranded that and brought it into 2020. They really need to be strategic about what they're doing, how they're doing, who they're talking to, because even if they could pull off getting a timed exclusive for the next entry in the Final Fantasy VII remake, that would be huge for them.
And on that note, I feel like we really got to the core of it. It's Final Fantasy. Everyone's lost their mind about it yesterday, and today that is the right way to end the podcast. So I want to say thank you to everybody I can't believe we managed to cram so much in. Thankfully, David gave us that balance with his news blast. Way! but thank you very much. We've done so much today. Cherie, how can people get in contact with you? Have you had a good time? What are you thinking?
A, I always have a good time when I'm with you, Gareth. B, if you want to find me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at MissSmith11, M-I-S-S Smith11. And of course, come to Laptop Mag, find out all your news about laptops, tablets, everything mobile we're going to start touching. So we are really expanding our coverage. Send us your pitches. We have a How to Pitch page. Check that out. Laptop before, laptop now, laptop forever.
Swider, follow it. Make TechRadar sound amazing, please.
Come to TechRadar.com. I don't have a slogan like Cherie does, but you can find me on TechRadar. You can find me at Matt Swider on all the social accounts. S-W-I-D-E-R is that last name. And you can go on Twitter and troll me with your pre-order for PS5 that I don't have and I'm stumbling to get. So just have at it.
And David, how have you been today?
Fantastic. Just ready to run back in the field. You can find me at Out on Alum on Twitter. Don't find me on Instagram. And please come to TechRadar.com. We are gearing up for big phone season, including the LG Wing 5G, which I have in my hand, which you can't hear, but maybe you can hear this.
Nope.
No.
That was very, very quiet, which is actually a good thing.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that quiet.
Great. Yeah, come find us on TechRadar, pitch us stuff.
Cool. And I have been Gareth Beavis, Global Editor-in-Chief of TechRadar. You can find me on SuperBeav on Twitter. TechRadar is a place that I write things. That's often the case. And you can see my face in Memojis, which I'll be posting pictures of very soon because everyone wants to see that. Thank you very much for listening to the Noise Cancelling Podcast. Again, we always appreciate it. Please leave us some kind of review, whatever you think's fair on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Acast, Deezer, wherever you get your podcasts. Please do so as soon as you can and listen to us every week, because that would be lovely. But thank you very much for listening, and we will see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.